Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Well, shalom and welcome to The Chosen People. My name is Bobby Walter and I serve with Chosen People Ministries here in New York City. And we're coming to you now from Midtown Manhattan. And once again, I just have to let you know that our dear brother, Dr. Mitch Glazer, he is not on the program this week. He is enjoying a well-deserved sabbatical for the next few weeks. So you could be praying for Mitch. He's even though it's a sabbatical, he's working hard and always stays active working for the kingdom, but again, getting some much-needed rest. So, sitting in place of Mitch for this week and the next few weeks as well, we've got a dear brother, dear friend of mine. We've known each other for, we figured out, about 19 years now. His name is Derek Blumenthal, who serves with Chosen People Ministries down in Virginia Beach. So, Derek, welcome to The Chosen People.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So we are going to be introducing a very fun topic, I think, a serious topic, but something that we feel needs some attention, and that is the heart of Yeshua, the heart of Jesus for the Jewish people.
Yeah.
So, Derek, why don't you kind of maybe wax eloquent a little bit about our topic and about what you think about the heart of Jesus for the Jewish people?
Yeah, it's amazing. When you're looking for it in the scriptures, it's so easy to find because, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, which is something that we've been looking at together quite a lot, studying it on my own and teaching about it in my own congregation, Matthew is considered to be, of the four Gospels, the most, quote-unquote, Jewish of them.
Yeah, as if any of them are not Jewish.
Yeah, precisely. Right. Precisely, but Matthew seems to have a particularly Jewish audience in mind, especially starting with the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, and then moving through the entire gospel using kingdom imagery and imagery that relates to Jewish sensibilities. As we see Matthew chronicle the ministry of Yeshua, Jesus, throughout this gospel, we see him not only interacting with Jewish people, but Jewish concepts.
Yeah.
Right? He's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about stuff that we find in the Hebrew scriptures, and that makes sense, of course, because he's the living fulfillment of everything that was being pointed towards, right, from the prophets on.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible thing.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And Matthew, like you said, it's a very Jewish gospel. Matthew has become like one of my favorite of the four gospels. I've spent a lot of time in there. And yeah, you're right. Like all these themes come out very strongly. The idea of Jesus as the new Moses, the idea of Jesus as the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise where God was going to bless all the families of the earth, the idea of Yeshua Jesus as the fulfillment of David,
right?
This promised son of David. So one thing that I've found really fascinating about Matthew's gospel is the way it's structured. So the way Matthew is structured, there's like an ebb and flow to the book, and it comes off where at the beginning, you'll have sections that are just narrative, which means that Matthew is just kind of like telling the story of what's happening, right? There's a lot of action. Usually like a lot of time is covered during the narrative sections. And then after the narrative section, you get into what Matthew has as discourses. Mm-hmm. And a discourse is where Matthew just likes to like focus in on one point in time where Yeshua gives like an extended teaching, a discourse, right? And then after the discourse, it goes back to narrative. So that's like the flow of Matthew's gospel. And there's five of these discourses throughout his gospel. The first one is Matthew 5-7, which is the Sermon on the Mount, right? That's where, again, Matthew just like lasers in on that hillside in the Galilee where Yeshua just gave this, you know, just phenomenal, monumental teaching to the crowds, right? And then after the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 8 and 9, that's where we have more narrative, right? Storytelling. It's Yeshua. He's traveling through the cities and villages in the Galilee. He's performing miracles and healings. And then at the end of Matthew chapter 9, which is where, you know, we're going to dig in a little bit here at the end of Matthew chapter 9, it's like a transition. It's a transition from the end of that narrative section into the second discourse,
yeah,
which is Matthew chapter 10. So, Derek, tell us about this transition that takes place at the end of Matthew chapter 9.
Yeah, there's this amazing, well, Matthew chapter 9 is this whirlwind story of all of these miracles that Yeshua performed, right? And some of them seem to be happening back to back to back to back. From verse 18 on, we have him on his way to go perform a certain miracle. He's going to raise the synagogue official's dead daughter.
Mm.
And as he's on his way to this person's house, he encounters the woman with the issue of blood and he heals her along the way. Immediately afterward, there's the blind men who call out. They call him the son of David, as you mentioned before, right? Mm-hmm. They recognize him as the Messiah. He heals them. He heals a demonized man immediately after that. And the way Matthew makes it seem is that this was all just rolling right one after the other.
Right.
Incredible thing. And then we have this, like you said, a transition. He says, Yeshua, he says, seeing the people, this is verse 36, Matthew 9, 36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And it goes on, but we can see Yeshua's heart isn't just, he's not just a rock star. He's not just being a healer, bringing all this attention to himself because he wants to be famous. He's looking at his people, the Jewish people of Israel, and he sees how broken,
mm-hmm,
how heavy-hearted they are for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And he has tremendous compassion for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, you mentioned it, but it's a good thing to point out here. In verse 35, Matthew tells us where Jesus is, where this is happening, and who these people are, mm-hmm, right? So he says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So where was he? And who, like Seinfeld would say, who are these people, right? Who are populating the synagogues in these cities and villages where Jesus is proclaiming this message, this good news?
Right.
Who are they?
He's engaging with Israel. He's engaging with the Jewish people.
He's looking and engaging with Israel, his kinsmen according to the flesh, right? The Jewish people. And it's the Jewish people here that he looks upon in verse 36, and he is so moved when he looks upon them, because like you said, Derek, he sees the condition that they're in.
Yeah.
Now, was this like the physical condition that they're in? Probably not. That doesn't seem to be the implication here. So when he looks on them, he sees the people, like you read in verse 36,
mm-hmm,
seeing the people, right? It's like an action verb here where he's observing the people before him, and he sees the condition that they're in, right? Now, was it their physical condition? Probably not. What seems to be implied here is the spiritual condition of Israel, of the Jewish people in the time of Yeshua.
Mm.
And there's a word here in verse 36, Matthew 9, 36, that is one of my favorite words in Greek,
mm-hmm,
okay? It says, he felt compassion for them. So the word for compassion here, this is the verb that's used. The verb is splanknidzomai.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that beautiful?
It's a good one.
Yeah,
comes from right off the top.
It really does. Comes from the noun splanknon, right? And you got to say it like that,
yeah,
because it's
splanknon.
It's got to come from deep within, because that's actually like what the word means.
Yeah, gut wrenching.
Yes, yes. If you trace like the origins or the etymology, like the development of that Greek word splanknon throughout its history of use, when it was originally used in like classical Greek, it literally referred to like the inner organs of a sacrificial animal, okay? The guts. And over time, the word kind of evolved and took on more meaning, and it came to be known and used to describe this deep, gut-wrenching, compassionate feeling that we as human beings have, right? That elicits this desire, this impulse to show mercy or to show care, right? And that's the word that's used here. So Yeshua, as he sees his people Israel, his Jewish people, It moves him. He feels it deep within his gut. And what flows from that place is this compassionate desire to show mercy, to bring healing, to bring restoration, to answer and provide a solution for the problem that's laid before him.
How beautiful and incredible it is that he doesn't just have some feeling of obligation toward the people of Israel, but it's a very genuine feeling and reaction he sees to the suffering of his own people, mm-hmm. right? His own kinsmen, according to the flesh, like yeah. I said. And more so that not only does he have this compassion, because lots of people can have compassion for other people, but he's uniquely qualified yes. to actually do something yeah. about it, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
To walk in the ways of the Savior is at the heart of everything we do. And when we connect with his culture and the things he holds dear, we realize the past, present, and prophetic impact of Leviticus 23. And if you're interested in learning more about the biblical feasts and getting connected to the Jewish roots of your Christian faith, then ask how you or your church can book a Chosen People Ministry speaker today. Our staff would love to speak with you or your pastor about how we can serve the Lord and the Jewish people together. Once again, you can book a speaker for the holidays when you go online to chosenpeople.com/radio. That's chosenpeople.com/radio. Or learn more when you call us. Our friendly team members would love to hear from you. And you can call us at 888-293-7482. Lashana Tova, wishing you a good and pleasant year. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
In 1892, Rabbi Leopold Cohen passed an open door to a church on the Lower East Side of Manhattan and heard someone preaching the gospel in Yiddish, the language of his Jewish Hungarian homeland. After reading the New Testament he received from the young Jewish preacher, Rabbi Cohen gave his life to Jesus and became deeply burdened for the salvation of his fellow Jewish people. This was the birth of Chosen People Ministries. Rabbi Cohen began reaching out to the tens of thousands of poor Eastern European Jewish immigrants. Under his inspired leadership, the mission he founded provided food and clothing, taught English and sewing classes, offered medical care, and shared the good news of Jesus the Messiah. Rabbi Cohen understood the importance of not only sharing the gospel with words, but also by showing the love of Jesus to his chosen people. As a result, many Jewish people came to faith. Rabbi Cohen's son, Joseph Hoffman Cohen, succeeded him, and Chosen People Ministries continued to grow. Headquartered in the heart of New York City, which has the highest concentration of Jewish people in the world, Chosen People Ministries also ministers in over 20 cities throughout North America. Although our world has changed since the days of Leopold Cohen, our mission statement remains the same. Our mission is to pray for, evangelize, disciple, and serve Jewish people everywhere and help fellow believers do the same. This great historic work stands on the sure word of Scripture, especially Romans 1:16, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Here are some ways you can help. Pray for Chosen People Ministries. We covet your prayers as we reach God's chosen people. And you can support the work of Chosen People Ministries by giving today. We cannot serve in the United States and the many other countries around the globe without your generosity. Thank you for your partnership, and we look forward to the next season of our ministry and working together with you to reach the Jewish people with the gospel.
As a special gift to you, I'd love to send you a free chapter of my new book, Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. Just visit chosenpeople.com/radio and fill out the form. That's chosenpeople.com/radio. I hope it encourages your heart. Shalom.
Yeah, and again, what I love about Matthew's description here is as he begins to describe what Yeshua is going to do about it, he starts to use, again, some more like really rich Old Testament imagery that reminds us of King David, okay? So what does he say? All right, so he has compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited. Two very strong words, again, in the Greek, to describe just like how beaten down the people have been. And what is the cause? What is the cause of Israel's distress and being dispirited? Well, he says they're distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd.
Right. There's a leadership issue.
Well, it's a leadership issue, right? And this, again, kind of taps in to some Old Testament language, like Ezekiel talked about and Jeremiah talked about, just the failures of Israel's historic leadership when it came to shepherding Israel and shepherding the people. So Yeshua sees the people, he's moved to compassion. The problem is a leadership problem. Israel is like like sheep without a shepherd. And lo and behold, Derek, like you said, the answer is right there in their midst,
yeah.
Right? He is uniquely qualified. Why? Because he is the shepherd of Israel. And the shepherd of Israel has a deep, very real heart burden for his flock, for his people.
Yep. And we've been seeing that the unique ability that he has, we've been seeing that illustrated for us in the prior chapters of Matthew.
Right.
Maybe from Matthew 4 up through 9 here, he's expressing his authority over and over, his authority over sicknesses, mm-hmm. his authority over the spirit world, his authority over nature even, calming the wind and the waves. Mm-hmm. If anyone's going to do anything about the dispirited nature of the people of Israel, it's going to be him because he is, in fact, the Messiah and God in the flesh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and again, what's motivating him and driving him to take action on behalf of the flock, right? To come in like that loving, nurturing shepherd, to scoop the sheep up into his arms and like draw them close and like calm them down and provide for them. The driving force in all of it, again, is that compassion, mm-hmm. right? It's the love, okay? And this is what we see. This is what is driving the Lord, right? This is what's driving the Lord to send his only begotten son, right? Why did he do it? Because he loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, right? Shall not be left in that state of being distressed and dispirited,
yeah.
but instead have eternal life, okay? And yes, that applies to Israel and the nations. But it's really important for us to see here that in the context of Matthew chapter 9, the compassion, the love that's driving Jesus here is a specific compassion and love for Israel, for the Jewish people. So what does he do, Derek? What's the first action item on the list for Yeshua here at the end of Matthew 9?
I love this, actually, especially I'm a congregational leader. And I am prone to taking on way too much responsibility for myself instead of sharing it mm-hmm. with other people who really want to serve. So Yeshua doesn't stand up and go, I have such compassion on these people. I'm going to take care of all of it myself. In fact, he does the exact opposite. In the next verse in Matthew 9, 37 to 38, he says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, I'm not going to do this all myself. I'm recruiting you. I'm recruiting others
yeah.
to help do this kingdom work, to help save this dispirited people whom I have such compassion on. And of course, his disciples, if they don't already, they develop that same compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this is the work for you to do. To go out into the harvest, to reach people who need the love of Messiah, you're going to do it with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Incredible thing.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a powerful like template for us, because in a lot of ways, this pattern, it prefigures what the reality would be beyond the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, right? Yes, I mean, big picture, Yeshua does provide the ultimate answer and the source of life and healing and restoration. And he takes on the sin of all mankind upon himself when he was nailed to the cross, right? I mean, he who knew no sin became sin. And yes, that we stand upon that. But then even beyond the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua, he enlists us, right? His people to get involved in the restorative ministry that he is doing, right? And it's all prefigured here at the end of Matthew chapter 9. So yeah, exactly. He doesn't just snap his fingers and say, I got this.
Sure.
He lets his disciples know that they are going to have a role in all of this.
And even a role in recruiting others. He says, beseech, plead with the Lord. It's not the normal, and you would know the Greek better than me, but it's not the normal Greek word for prayer.
Correct.
Do you know what it is off the top of your head? I don't either.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, cut that out, John, please. I can look it up.
Beg the Lord, because this is so crucial for other people to join in this work.
Right.
So it's not just going to be you 12 or this small group that I'm speaking to. It's going to be other people as well. We need everyone we can get.
Yeah. And I love that because we can relate to that even today. Mm-hmm. Like part of the responsibility and the calling that the Lord has on our lives is we are like continuing in this ministry of reaching out to the world, in this ministry of restoration to Israel and the nations. Part of our responsibility is to pray and to continue praying and beseeching the Lord of the harvest to raise up more workers to send out. And you know what I love about this, Derek? When I think about this, when I read this, and I think about the disciples in that moment and how, I mean, we assume that they followed the guidance of Jesus here and that they began to beseech the Lord of the harvest and cry out to God to raise up more workers. I love to think about the fact that we today as followers of Yeshua, whether we are serving with a ministry or whether we're in a church or a messianic congregation or wherever we are in our station in life as a follower of Jesus, we are standing on the shoulders of generation after generation after generation who have gone before us, who have prayed for us, right? And this is not to like put ourselves on a pedestal, it's just to kind of put things in perspective for us. We stand on the shoulders of the apostles. The prayers of the apostles here to raise up workers, we're part of God's answer to that.
Yeah.
And God is going to continue to raise up more workers beyond us as we continue to pray and beseech him to do so. So take heart, okay? Take heart in all of this. We are together. We're part of a one big family, one big body of Messiah, and we are tapping into the heart of Jesus. And we don't want to lose sight of the fact that Yeshua, Jesus, his heart burned with compassion for the Jewish people. And may the Lord do the same for us. Well, thank you so much for tuning in with us today. And we're very grateful that you're checking us out and that you're listening. And we would love to hear from you as well. So if you can, check us out online at chosenpeople.com/radio. If you would like to email us, the email address is radio@chosenpeople.com. You can also leave us a voicemail message. Just call this number, 914-288-1466. That's 914-288-1466. Now, also, if you reach out to us, whether you send us an email or visit the website at chosenpeople.com/radio, we want to give you a copy of one of the chapters from Mitch's book, Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. And we want to give that to you for free. So again, just check us out, chosenpeople.com/radio. Send us an email, radio@chosenpeople.com, or give us a call and leave us a message, 914-288-1466. So thank you so much again. God bless you. And now we're going to close things out with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom. V'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.